Welcome to the Thrive Church Sermon of the Week podcast. We're inviting you to experience God, forget dead religion, and thrive in Jesus. For more information regarding this podcast and other resources, visit thriveny.org. We hope you enjoy the message.
I came prepared with two jokes. Caleb will bring two jokes, I'm sure, next week, although he actually doesn't normally. So who wants to hear a Caleb joke next week? Let's do it. If you're in our pastor's meetings on Monday, you hear them all day. So, I mean, y'all are the ones missing out. I get them all the time. But did anyone catch the joke, or it wasn't a joke, but the hint in the text if you are on the church text line? What movie was I quoting? Anybody? Brian's the one that picked the message title. Don't let him down now. Oh, no. I'm glad. Is he in the room? He is. He's in the sound booth with Phoebe. This is not good, guys. All right. When we got married, I heard there are Star Wars people, and then there are... Okay, you're right. That was a bad example. Star Trek. And then there's Lord... There we go. It was a Lord of the Rings quote. All right. I watched them once. A long time ago, all right, but it was a Lord of the Rings quote, and it will have something to do with the message. If you are not on the text church list and you would like to get the text that I send out every week, text the church line, but the number's not up there. But if you go to thriveny.org, if you go to our website, you'll see the church phone number at the bottom of every page. Just text that, and I'll add you to the list. It's a great way to stay up to date and get jokes that apparently nobody gets, all right. What do you call a hobbit that eats junk food? Lord of the Onion Rings. I thought that was a pretty good one. All right, that was my Lord of the Rings nod. Now the other side. I like to get jokes that are on theme. Why didn't the baby want to be born? Because it didn't want to give up its free womb and board. That's a good one. All right, so now let's get into the Word of God here soon. So we are unpacking our vision series for the month, and our word is bold. Can everyone just say bold this morning? We're asking, what if playing it safe isn't really playing it safe? And when I say that, I got this picture of Psalm 91 and finding our safety in God. How many know the safest place to be is with Jesus, right? And sometimes life feels safer going our own way. It feels more comfortable or less risky. And then you wake up one day and you realize the safest place you've ever been was with Jesus. Amen? And so we're asking, what if playing it safe isn't playing it safe after all? Boldness requires a foundation that cannot be shaken. Boldness isn't a personality type. It's not a free ticket to be rude or living without fear. Remember last week we talked about how those who actually live without fear are usually professionally crazy, right? Because fear, like it's sometimes that's wisdom, right? So boldness is not being like without fear ever. Boldness we defined as being fully persuaded by who God really is, by being open and real with God and firmly believing in God in faith and relying on him. And that's based off of two Greek words for boldness that are the most used words for boldness in the New Testament. It's a bold son or daughter of God. Amen? We asked last week, what would you do if you were 10 times bolder this year than last year? And then there was an awkward pause, so I said, what if you were one times bolder, right? Sometimes we go extra dramatic, and then we never do any of it, because we're like, between here and there is 10x, but what about 1x, yeah? And think about that in your priorities as a single person or as a married individual, in your work and finances and health. Our vision here is thriving homes transform cities. Thriving homes transform cities. And that word thrive means to grow and mature. How many know that it takes boldness or it takes a step of courage and bravery to choose to grow? To choose to grow out of cycles that you've been trapped in, to choose to grow beyond what has been modeled to you on earth, and to look at our model as our Heavenly Father. Amen? So last week we talked about the first Greek word used for boldness that means confidence, trust, or being fully persuaded. And we asked the question, do I have self-confidence or Christ confidence? I don't know if Christ confidence stuck out to you this week, but I needed some Christ confidence to navigate my week this week. And I'm really glad that I didn't have to depend on myself. I could depend on something a lot greater. the entire foundation for living boldly in our faith inside and outside of our homes and our workplaces is in the overcoming person of Jesus. So our key verse for this month, and it's going to be our key verse for the whole year, although of course we'll have different verses every month like we always do, but our theme verse is John chapter 16, verse 33. And I'm going to go through a few different verses this morning, and then we're going to land on a story in the Bible at the end, all right? Just so you know if you're flipping your pages and trying to keep up. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take courage or be bold. I have overcome the world. You know what's interesting? A few things that verse does not say is, I will overcome the world. Or I am in war with the world. Or I am stressed out by the world. Or I am freaked out by the world. Or how about this? I am surprised by the world. No, it says, I have overcome the world. Amen? Yeah, that deserves some worship. So let's look at that word peace this morning for just a minute before I get into the main part. That word peace is the Greek word that is similar to the Hebrew word shalom. Anyone ever heard shalom, right? It is not a hippie term. It's actually a Hebrew greeting, all right? So when I was in Israel doing mission work, you would say shalom, and it was just your normal greeting. I remember preaching a message here several years ago and thinking, I wish our hello meant what shalom means. We might have a lot less problems in America, right? Remember, shalom, it means wholeness, it means health, it means prosperity. I don't know what our hello means. It depends on the person saying it, I'm just saying, right? But I love the word shalom. So this is the Greek version of that word. And in the classic Greek, it means a condition of law and order that results in the blessing of prosperity. And that word prosperity is another word for thriving. So you could say a condition of law and order that results in the blessing of thriving. And then my other favorite definition is undisturbed. I wrote that down and I thought, ooh, I just want to breathe that in. How many know there is a lot of disturbance in our world right now? If you get on Facebook, if you get on, like, what I was going to say, one of the news outlets, and I thought I better not say one of them, any of them that you're looking at, literally, doesn't matter. There is disturbance. And the problem is, if we are feeding ourselves with disturbance, we're not feeding ourselves with the overcoming victory of Jesus. And then we end up being disturbed and wondering why. And the problem with a seed of disturbance is it bears disturbing fruit. And if you look around, there's a lot of disturbing things. And it's easy for the church to kind of point outward. But the problem is if we're eating that disturbance, you could point inward too, if we're going to be real and honest in this church this morning, right? But when we walk in Christ confidence, step in step with him, you can be undisturbed. How's that for some good news? Did anyone have a hard time believing me? You can be undisturbed. There's a reason good news is called good news. It's actually good. We're not here to dumb it down this morning. The gospel, if we live in it and abide in Christ as our confidence, and we walk in the boldness of faith, we can walk undisturbed in disturbing times. You can thrive, and you can even have order when chaos is around you. Genesis 1, 2 through 3. Now the earth was formless and empty, and darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. That word formless, now the earth was formless and empty. That word formless, one of the definitions is chaos. The world was chaos. So if you think it's gotten worse since you've been alive, just try going back to Genesis. Apparently the entire globe was pure chaos. And in that atmosphere, God spoke and light happened. And that hasn't changed since Genesis. From that second verse of the entire Bible, in the beginning of creation, God has been revealing to humanity, he turns confusion and chaos into order. How many need some alignment with Jesus in your life this year? Amen? And so remember, that Greek word, it means the condition of law and order that results in the blessing of prosperity. So it says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In me, you may have something greater than the chaos around you. you may have peace. If you get one thing out of today, get that, even though that's not the main point of my message, but I had to go there this morning for just a moment because that's for someone here struggling in chaos. Today we are talking about childlike boldness. Can we just say childlike? It is Kids Sunday. Normally we have a lot more kids on Kids Sunday, so I thought we better just talk about childlike boldness. This message was inspired by my daughter in a moment of chaos, actually. And then God spoke, and there was semi-order, depending on the moment, all right? But we were here for the worship night on New Year's Eve, and it was kind of near the end of the night, and so there were only a few of us. And Phoebe now Phoebe's a talker in general. She loves to yell and talk. And I literally have had to yell over the top of her so my husband can hear her at home sometimes when we're talking. I'm like, if she's doing that now, I don't want to know when she's 13. I'm just going to say that out loud once. It's recorded. You can show her in a couple years. But we were in the worship environment, and everyone was singing. And she starts, I'm going to say singing, but that's a nice word for it. It was more like yelling. The problem was she was louder than the speakers. I was like, what do I do? Where do I go? So I walked out, and then she quieted down. I was like, thank God. And then I walked back in, and she's like, ah. And I'm like, well, what do I do? So finally, a couple kind souls here, they were like, it's okay. And I'm like, I'm the pastor. And I was like, no, I don't belong here. So anyway, that was a good experience for me, because we all have that sometimes, right? But my child was bold in her worship. And I did think about it for a minute. And I thought, gosh, if she was an adult and had been that loud in her worship, the whole room would have been on their face. They would have been like, yes, God, look at them. They're so passionate and they're surrendering and they don't even care what's going on. But because she was 7 months, that was not necessarily the response, right? But there is a kind of boldness that a child has that is just unprecedented. I'm not saying it's always positive. I'm not saying it's always negative, but it's there, right? And we are the children of God, and we are to have a childlike boldness. So we're going to talk about this morning. We're talking about the second word for boldness in Greek, and it's a word that is used as a result of something, all right? That's the kind of word it is. It means frankness, openness, plain speaking, freedom of speech. And one scholar defines it as to say something, or to say everything, rather, without any reservation. Now, I'm not going to lie. When I wrote that down, I literally shuddered. Because we have all experienced someone who thinks that's their life word. Is it just me? And if we're honest, that person is ourselves in the mirror, depending on the good day or the bad day, right? Someone who's like, I'm going to be direct and lay everything out on the table. And it's not always Holy Spirit led, right? That's not what I'm talking about, okay? I'm going to keep saying this year, and especially this month, as we talk about the word boldness, what I don't mean by it. Because it's important that we center our boldness, not in our flesh, but in our Christ identity, in our Christ confidence, our identity in Christ. Amen? This is crucial, because otherwise you will blow your world up if you get the wrong definition of bold. Because I have, as I'm sure you all have, depending on the time. When a child knows they are seen and they are safe, they live bold. They live boldly. Phoebe felt safe here, I guess, which is good, right? She felt safe. She felt seen. She's a baby, right? She's not thinking about it, but she felt secure somewhere in her heart and nervous system, and she just decided to let it rip because she was safe and in the presence of God, which hopefully she's getting used to, right? And like the Greek word, it's an outflowing of confidence from being convinced, right? Boldness is being so convinced that you are safe and secure that you can just do it. You don't have to muster it up. You don't have to, remember I said you don't have to like muscle through. Sometimes we think of the word bold and it's like, here we go, right? My husband, he just lifted 1,000 pounds in an hour. I have to brag on him. I do. I have to brag on him. I don't join him in the gym. You can probably tell. But he's into it. So it's like, that's cool. Caleb on occasion joins him in the gym. They're working on that with prayer and fasting. Some, I don't know. But anyway, Brian, he did this whole thing and he lifted 1,000 pounds within an hour. I guess that's how it is. If you have questions or want to work out, talk to him, not me. But what was interesting is I saw his inner strength get built as he worked on his outer strength. Have you ever met someone who's working on their outer strength? Now, this can be either positive or negative, right? It can either make you really headstrong, or it can give you a strength of spirit because you suddenly realize that God designed your body to reflect who you are in Christ, right? To be healthy. And so it's been really cool to watch him do that. And so I don't know why I said that. I was like, that I had a profound spiritual meaning to be bragging on my husband. I lost track. So anyway, shout out to my husband. There we go. All right, moving on here. 1 John 3:1, see what great love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called the children of God. And that is what we are. How you view God as your Father determines how you walk in childlike boldness. If you don't view God as a good Father, you won't be able to walk in Christ confidence very well. It'll feel like striving and mustering strength, which we all have seasons where it feels like that, so there's no condemnation. But if you're feeling exhausted and worn down, today is an invitation to revisit the reality that you are a child of God. Remember, that word boldness means freedom of speech, laying everything out openly. And a child will fearlessly lay it out openly when they feel secure as a child. Have you ever had a child say something that was very inappropriate at the, like just flat out at the wrong, they held nothing back. They just said it. That's kind of why I loved working in NextGen 2 weeks ago, because some of the things those kids said to me, I'm still thinking about. It was awesome. I was like, this is so much fun. I learned all about it. I learned from Seth Reynolds. He said some things I was like, I need to meditate on that. That's some truth. He's got a preacher in his heart, right? And so kids are bold. There's a childlike, simple boldness that they carry. So we're landing for the next few minutes on Hebrews chapter 4:16. If you want to go there in your Bibles. If you don't bring your Bible to church or you don't have a Bible, talk to Pastor Caleb. We'll get you a Bible, all right? But it's good to bring your Bible to church. If I hear you swiping, I guess I'm going to count it as a Bible. They should, you know, a Bible app is missing out. They should add the flipping page sound that only a Bible sounds like to their app. I'm telling you, someone's missing it big time. That'd be great. All right, Hebrews 4:16. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence. And that confidence is the same bold word, free speech, laying it all out on the table, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. I was meditating on this verse all week, and I was kind of looking at the need word. And then suddenly I had the word help kind of jump off at the off the page. And I looked up the definition. This is really interesting. That word help, I thought it was going to be like refuge or deliverance or something. But it's only used two times. And the other time it's used is in Acts chapter 27, verse 17, when Paul was headed to Rome and got caught in a violent storm in the sea. And he's facing imminent shipwreck. And this verse is talking about trying to survive in chaos and Paul's faith. It's not a spiritual word. It's a sailing word. It means, now, if anyone knows the actual way to say this word, please tell me, because I am not a sailor. But I believe it's frapping. I think that's the word. That sounds like a barista term, but it's not, I promise you. Frapping a vessel is a nautical technique of tightly binding its hull with ropes or chains to provide extra support and prevent it from breaking apart in severe storms. That is the word help. I'm going to reread this verse with that word defined in it, because I think you're going to hear it. Unless you knew that before, you're going to hear it in a new light. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence, or holding nothing back, so that God's mercy and grace can provide life-saving support from being broken apart and give stability in severe storms. This is a life on the line, be bold or be broken apart moment of boldly coming before the throne. This is not a peaceful synth vibey worship set where you're approaching the throne of grace, which is fine. I love that. There's nothing wrong with that. But this is I am sinking in a severe storm. And if God's grace and mercy do not wrap around me and support me and stabilize me, I am going to be shipwrecked. This is a life or death bold moment. Are you following me? This is an invitation to approach God with a childlike boldness who gives life-saving support in the midst of the most severe of life's storms. You know what's interesting as I meditated on this week? Frapping doesn't stop the storm. It sustains the vessel. I want to say that again. Frapping does not stop the storm. It sustains the vessel. So when it says, so that you may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need, it's not saying peace to the storm. It's saying, God, however long this storm lasts, you will sustain me. I will worship you. You will support me. You will save me. And I know that's not a message that, I mean, normally the message that we preach is God will calm the storm, God will deliver you from the storm, and he does, amen, right? But this is a little bit of a different kind of boldness. This is a faith that says, God, whether you calm the storm today or tomorrow, I'm not peeping my eyes on the storm, I'm saying sustain me through it. Are you following this morning? This is still good news, I promise. This is still good news. Boldly approach his throne. And there's some of us today, as we walked into the new year, that are in that place of feeling imminent shipwreck. Maybe it's in a certain area of your life, and you're like, I am going towards shipwreck, and I can't seem to change course. The storm is going. God hasn't calmed it. I don't know what I'm doing wrong or what's going on. Is he even hearing me? And this is an invitation this morning to say, I'm going to boldly, with childlike boldness, leave everything on the table before God. And I'm going to invite his mercy and his grace to wrap around me like ropes and chains that provide extra support and prevent me from breaking apart in this storm. The enemy wants you to break apart, but God wants to sustain and support you. And this is an invitation to be bold. Amen? Boldly approach his throne. That sounds dramatic, which it is. It's God. It's the King of Kings. It does not get more dramatic and more epic than that. But we need to realize that we are always boldly approaching a throne. Think about it. Whether it's the throne of ourselves, the throne of our past, the throne of instant gratification, fill in the blank for where you go in life's storms. Where do you go when you are breaking apart? Some of us might go to a bottle. Some of us might go to a screen. Some of us might go in a dysfunctional cycle. Some of us might isolate. Wherever you go when life is breaking you apart is the throne that you go to. And there is an invitation to go to the throne of God. We can go to God's throne for peace, or we can escape in noise that's louder than the storm and get anxiety and get run down. We can go to God for strength, or we can try and muscle through with brute force and get exhausted and burned out. We can go to God for forgiveness, or we can go to something that will harden our heart. We can go to God for healing and shalom, or we can go to God for go to another throne for temporary relief. Are you following? If something's jumping off, maybe that's where you're going, and God wants to bring healing to you this morning. We can go to God for comfort, or we can go to another throne for distraction. We can go to God and receive joy, or we can go to another throne and get external dependent happiness that's fleeting. We can go to God for grace, or we can go to another throne for accusation and offense. And lastly, we can go to God for the resurrection power of Jesus, or we can strive and just try to survive. Some of us are like playing the Game of Thrones, right? There's the throne of God, and we're playing games out in front of it, going to different thrones when God came to earth so that we could boldly approach. There's no veil. There's nothing that can separate you from the love of God. It's just like we sang this morning. And yet so often we choose other thrones rather than the throne of God to go to. What would life look like if you trusted he has the whole world in his hands? There's a gospel version of that song that came on Spotify this week. And man, Brad and I were having a dance party in the car. I would play it this morning. Our worship team would not be able to play it. I'm sorry, I love our worship team. But man, it's a good song. And I've got the whole world in he's got the whole world in his hands. And then there's a dance party at the end of the song. Like there always should have been on that song. Because if he has the whole world in his hands, it's not a dirge, it's not a funeral march, it's a celebration at the end, right? When we boldly come before God, we come and say, God, see all of me. I hold nothing back. And as we do that, we're saying, I receive your mercy and your grace into all of me. I hold no area back from receiving from you in the midst of this severe storm of life. So my question to you is, what severe storm do you need to boldly come to God with and receive his life-saving support this morning? Where do you find yourself going to other thrones? He wants to set you free. There is breakthrough and freedom in the house. Amen? We're going to unpack this just a little bit more, and then we're going to have a special song that John's going to do. I think I don't know the last time he sang. I think it was Easter. It's Easter today, guys. It's Easter every day if you know Jesus, all right? I'm excited, and I want to invite you into a place of receiving from him as he ministers at the end here today. So today's message title, What is in Your Pocket? That's the Lord of the Rings quote, right? What is in your pocket? If you have ever watched a child and had to ask this question, there is a certain level of fear and excitement attached depending on the child. I hear laughing from various, we know your children now if you're laughing. All right, good to know, right? But the beautiful thing about kids is they will give you anything out of their pocket that an adult would be way too embarrassed to. All right? And I got to tell you, I grew up in this church. It's one of the joys of pastoring. When I tell other pastors that I pastor the church that I grew up in, they're like, how's that going for you? And I say, it's going great. Thank you very much. It's the family of God. And it is. But when I was a kid here, I would draw pictures and then I'd give it to the pastors, right? Well, when I became the leader 6 years ago, I told my husband, I was like, I am waiting. I want a picture. I want a kid to give me a picture. That's all I wanted. I love Pastor Appreciation. And by the way, thank you so much to everyone who sacrificially gave in appreciation over Christmas to the Vincents and myself. We were so, so blessed. And I don't take that for granted, but I wanted a picture too, right? I wanted a picture. And so I got a picture. The Cosgroves, their paintings are amazing. I'm just going to put that out there. Other kids are too. I have a little collection. But they will give you a drawing that you can't understand. If Maria gave me the drawing that maybe another child gave me, she'd be like, I'm so... But when a child gives it, it's like, this is the most beautiful thing I've ever seen, right? Some of the kids here are really gifted too. Or they'll give you a dandelion that's wilting. I would rather have a dandelion that's wilting from a child than a huge bouquet from an adult that was like, here's some flowers, right? Why? It means more, right? They'll also give us a dirty tissue, right? What's in your pocket? I wrote a dirty diaper because you know the season I'm in. It's not in her pocket yet, thank God, but it can get pretty messy and dirty with kids. And maybe that's why God breathed life into dirt to make us. If you ever need some humble pie, just remember. But we're looking at that second word for bold. Remember, boldness, it means frankness, openness to say everything without reservation. And we're going to wrap this up. When somebody asked a little boy in the Bible, what's in your pocket? And no, that's not even in the Message translation or transliteration or whatever it is, all right? But that's my translation of this story. We're looking at a story that is found in all four Gospels. And it's about a child who boldly approached God's throne, but God's throne looked like Jesus on earth. All right, this is where we're landing. John 6, 5 through 14. I'm going to read this quickly because we got a song. We're going to go probably about 5 minutes over because it's Kids Sunday. I heard they need a little extra time to play with the lava. Or not the lava. They're not playing with lava. They're moving on. I'm not helping a next gen today. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, "It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Peter's brother, spoke up, "Here is a boy with 5 small loaves and 2 small fish, but what good is it among so many?" Everyone say, what good is it? Have you ever approached God's throne and said, what good is it? Let's be real. Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and as they sat down, about 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. Say, as much as they wanted. He didn't meet their needs. He went beyond, above and beyond. He did the same with the fish. And I've been to the Galilee. I've had fresh fish. And we all think this is a nice story, but man, that must have been a stinky moment because fresh fish from the Galilee smells a little bit. When they had all they had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over and let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. And after the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who has come into the world." Imagine being there in this moment, and the little boy approaches Andrew and Jesus freely and is giving God the equivalent of, "Here's something in my pocket." And everyone's like, "Oh my gosh, he brought a wilted dandelion to Jesus. Look at the stick figure he brought to Jesus. This is so embarrassing." And God said, "This is everything I need. Thank you. I now have a purpose for it. What's in your pocket?" Andrew's response here reveals his perspective that the problem was bigger than God. I know no one here has ever felt that way. Not this morning. He said, "But what good is it among so many?" Oh, this problem is bigger than God. John records this for a specific reason. In Acts 3, immediately after being filled with the Holy Spirit, Peter and John enter the temple to worship. And I know Pastor Caleb just talked about this in Acts 3:6. Peter says, "I don't have silver or gold, but what I do have, I give you," right, to the lame man. "In the name of Jesus, Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk." We know the rest of the story. If you don't, check it out in Acts. But the man, lame from birth, leaps to his feet, and not only is he healed, he learns to walk instantly, which is amazing as well. And we go from reading, "What good is this?" to "What I have, I give." Can you stand on your feet this morning? And don't worry, we'll sit back down for John. John, if you want to make your way up. John had learned something in this time between the events. It's not about what's in your pocket. It's about the one you're giving it to. It's about boldly coming before God. In Jesus' hands, 5 loaves fed 5,000. In Jesus' hands, generational problems receive breakthrough and miracles. In Jesus' holy, nail-scarred hands, every problem is put into proper perspective and is absolutely smaller than the King of Kings on his throne. And the little boy in John 6 was bold enough to say yes to Jesus. Bold enough to come before the throne of God and leave everything on the table. Remember, a life stuck in a severe storm can be wrapped by God's nail-scarred hands with mercy and grace to give stability and support when we boldly come before him and we say, "Here's what's in my pocket. I'm holding nothing back. Good, bad, the ugly." Hebrews 4:16, "Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." I'm going to pray a blessing right now, and then John's going to sing. And after that, don't forget your kids, right? and the food ministry will start at 12 o'clock. Please do not line up before that. It's real cold out. We're just making some security updates in the parking lot. But I want to invite you to come forward during this altar moment as John sings. If you have been in a severe storm and you need God's mercy and his grace to secure you because you feel like you're about to be shipwrecked, or maybe you know someone else who is, I want to open up the altar as he sings. And if our altar team can come up to the front, but just between you and Jesus even. So right now, I just invite you to open up your hands to receive if you're comfortable doing that. I bless you today to receive from God's throne his peace, not as the world gives. I bless you to receive his strength in every weakness. I bless you to receive his forgiveness in any wrongs. I bless you to receive his healing in your brokenheartedness. I bless you to receive his comfort in your mourning. I bless you to receive his joy straight from heaven and not circumstances. I bless you to receive his grace in every need to receive and give. And I bless you to receive his resurrection power in your body. God, right now, we boldly approach your throne of grace. We don't worship the storm. And whether the storm is calm today or tomorrow or another day, we recognize that you are on the throne and that you are frapping the vessel. You are giving life-saving stability to our souls, to our spirit, to our hearts and our thought life, God. We boldly approach your throne of grace right now in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. If you enjoyed today's message, please support us by rating, reviewing, and subscribing to our podcast. You can find more info and invest in the gospel at thriveny.org. Go and thrive this week, and we will see you soon.